Mohit here. I'm founder at Blash, and today we have Arjun with me. I think Arjun, as I stated in my previous post, I believe one of the magicians in D2C world. You know, he scaled our, you know, the brand to 100 CR in so short span of time. So, you know, love to interact with Arjun, trying to understand what he did, and, you know, trying to gain some experience.
I'm excited for the conversation, and excited to talk about my favorite topic in D2C as well. So, as I always say, retention is the secret sauce or the superpower of D2C.
But to start with, Arjun, maybe, you know, tell me something about, you know, how's the Dr. Vaidya's journey was, you know, what all things you did, and what was this, you know, I know we cannot summarize these things in a lot of hard work must have gone in.
Lots of founders read the end of the story and just want to get to the end without sort of doing the struggle in between.
Right.
And so we'll break down the Dr. Vaidya's journey into three phases, right? Phase one was starting the brand, developing a thesis saying, hey, my family legacy is in Ayurveda. My last name is Ayurvedic doctor. My dada cured me of asthma. I have 150 years of Ayurveda legacy in my family. Let's do something with this. Right? So that was phase one. In phase one, I quit my job. I started this brand called Dr. Vaidya's with a thesis that we wanted to take ancient Ayurveda and make it appealing, accessible to modern consumers. So that was the thought process behind the brand we launched in 2016 October offline. Obviously, that's where all Ayurveda brands are being launched. Or all brands were being launched, insurgent brands. There was no word called D2C or no concept of e-commerce first or e-commerce only brands. And so that time, actually, when we launched, we went offline, failed miserably, unfortunately. I was young, I didn't have enough capital, couldn't stand up against Dabur, Emami, Patanjali, and so eventually we didn't do so well, right? And we put 10 lakhs of stock in market after a very successful launch event at Taj Lands End Hotel. And 3 months later, we got 9 lakhs worth of stock back. Because nobody knew Dr. Vaidya's. So we built to distributors, distributors built to retailers. Retailers couldn't build to L customers. Products sort of stayed at the store. Nobody bought it and then it came on. Right? At that time, it was a big failure. And that's what started phase two, where we said, okay, this is not working. Let's move from here to figure out something else. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she had moved back from the UK. She was at Goldman in the UK and then moved back and was at the founding team at Nykaa. And she said, look, you've seen this e-commerce wave in your journey as an investor. My first job out of college was in the private equity space. She said, you've seen this e-commerce wave in your journey as an investor. I've seen it in my time at Nykaa. Nobody's doing Ayurveda online. That's where you should spend your time. And so I convinced her to join the business, and we started drvaidyas.com in November 2017. We didn't know anything about D2C. We didn't know anything about e-commerce at the time. And so eventually set up from zero an e-commerce business. We learned Facebook, Google, Shopify, WooCommerce, advertising, speaking to customers, all of that from scratch as we started. And I think with that, because we had time, right? We had the good fortune of time back in those days, we learned everything from scratch, right? So we learned what it was to build a business, what it was to get orders, what it was to dispatch orders. We eventually learned how to build an e-commerce business, but also spoke to every single customer, right? And that's what allowed us to understand the thesis. That's what allowed us to understand what's working, what's not, where our customers are coming from. And then we got to 50 orders a day. We got to 50 orders a day. And from there was phase three, which was the hyperscale phase. That's how we got from 50 to 5,000 orders a day. We understood our thesis, had product market fit, and then hyperscale levels. Right? So while you may say it's a short span of time, it actually had two phases which took a long period of time before we started hitting scale. And establishing product market fit, understanding your customer acquisition cost, and then eventually scaling with the power of retention as well as sort of hyperscale through digital marketing, that's the real journey of an e-commerce brand.
Absolutely. Hey, yeah, you know, I think very well explained, Arjun. You know, I'm pretty sure this will be a super difficult journey for sure. Means being an entrepreneur, I understand that every bit, what it appears outside and what is there probably inside, I'm pretty sure people are just seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
Right. So one thing, right? So now this whole D2C game, I think has changed now. Like, you know, the whole online commerce, if we closely observe for last 2-3 years practically, I think it has changed, right, in terms of how do you approach stuff in terms of to a customer, or and it's changing also in terms of how customer is expecting. So do you think you have some thoughts here, Arjun, in terms of how it was there, say, you know, 2-3 years back, you know, and now you know, where do you think that, how it is changing, you know?
Look, I think there's a big change from the time I started, right? When we started, was the early days of e-commerce, the early days of D2C brands. We're part of the first quarter of D2C brands, right? Mama Earth, Mom's Co., Wow, Boat, Licious, Dr. Vedya's, like first few in 2016-17. And so that time, there was a few customers online and a few brands online. So if the customer came for Ayurveda online, they would only see us and they'd buy us, right? What happened post that was more D2C brands came, the businesses and industry started scaling, and then COVID hit us. COVID gave an insane exponential spike to the demand for D2C. But with that came an insane amount of customers coming to D2C as well as an insane number of brands being launched. Right? And so you now have a much larger addressable market in terms of number of customers, but also if you have 2x, 3x, 5x the demand, you have 5x, 10x, 15x the number of brands. And so today, the problem is that customers will buy online, but they have to choose you over the other brands in the competitive landscape. And so largely for me, that's the biggest change. You have to know your technicals of B2C really, really well in today's market, because there are enough brands and founders who already know it. You have to also find a way to differentiate your brand as compared to everything else in the market, right? And so that's why brand, content, community, testimonials, and retention has become even more important to me, because CPMs are all-time high. Performance marketing is expensive as the number of advertisers have increased. And so getting your technicals right is much more important today than was 5 years ago when I started.
Absolutely. Bang on. You know, I was just doing... So when we started the journey of Blash, you know, one of the key pointers behind the product is, you know, this PPC, right? So I clearly know that when I track certain categories in this performance marketing, some of the category cost has probably, you know, increased 4 times today, right? So, you know, any customer who a brand is trying to acquire, and if the LTV from that customer is not sustainable, right, then we will not be able to, you know, probably grow. That's my thought. So, customer retention, yes, it does become very, very critical here. But from a customer mindset, right, if we take a step back, right, I also, you know, I'm a heavy, you know, e-commerce customer. So what are the things which from a mindset of a customer is changing? Like, you know, hey, if I go to a brand digitally or, you know, on a hybrid model, how the customer mindset has changed, Arjun, and, you know, what is the impact probably brands are taking that, hey, you know, I need to fulfill this particular need of the customer, right?
Yeah, look, I think from a customer's perspective, right, customers have become much savvier now on two aspects. One, they're much more knowledgeable about products. We've seen many more brands. If you take, let's say, the example of beauty and personal care, they know what salicylic acid is. They know what sulfate-free, paraben-free means. They know what DHA and BHA are. The education level of the customers has increased significantly. And you can't fool these customers anymore, even if you try, right? Because they will research back of packs, they'll go online, they'll look at other brands, they'll look at foreign brands, and they'll know what a good quality product is. So I think from that perspective, you can't fool customers. The second thing is the service levels that a customer expects are significantly improved. That means the packaging that the customer expects the product to come in, the time of delivery. It can't take 7 days to deliver an order anymore. That's unacceptable today. The communication during delivery, post-delivery, the feedback mechanism, all of that is really critical. And if you're not able to satisfy the customer, you will get a 1-star review or a 2-star review on Amazon. That can hurt your brand significantly. So I think customers have become more mature as the market has scaled, market has grown, and more purchases have been done. Give an example of my dad. He had never placed an order online pre-pandemic. He's the father of an e-commerce entrepreneur. In April 21, he set up his Amazon account. In April 20, he set up his Amazon account. He's now placed more than 50 orders on Amazon. he now buys from his Instagram feed D2C. And if the order is delayed, he'll pick up the phone and call the customer service and tell him. That's the big difference. Customers are so savvy now, they can WhatsApp brands. And it's not just new age young customers, it's also the middle aged customers, which weren't necessarily the bread and butter e-commerce customers. They're improving and they're becoming more savvy as well.
Correct. Absolutely. Means I think customer, he was the pivotal, you know, for any business. But I think today, you know, the digital access has empowered a customer in terms of, you know, what kind of superior services is expecting, what kind of good customer experience is expecting, both online and offline stuff, right? So touching upon, you know, the customer retention part, you know, you talked about, you know, it is critical. We all know that customer retention is a mother's statement that, you know, hey, I need to retain my customer. So you are probably an active investor, right? You will be talking to, you know, multiple D2C or, you know, the online commerce brands, right? So from a retention perspective, there is, so whenever I speak to a growth folks, now most of the growth community is focused on achieving the top line, which is correct, right? I don't deny on that. But and the whole customer retention is a little non-glamorous part for anyone, right? Like, you know, whenever somebody you'll ask, okay,
no, for people who know D2C, it's the most glamorous part, right? So if someone doesn't know the industry so well, then maybe they'll just focus on revenue growth. But I think any savvy operator will say, hey, what's your repeat rate? And what's your CAC for a repeat order versus a new order? Why is retention important? Because if you think about it, if you look at the unit economics of a D2C business, right? Look at a D2C P&L, there is revenue minus tax giving you a net revenue. The discounts are also sort of minus software. There's net revenue. Then there's cost of goods sold, the cost to manufacture the product, plus the packaging, the primary to secondary packaging, into a gross margin. Below the gross margin, you have three costs, largely, right, on a per order basis. Logistics, packaging, which would be the box or the courier bag or the mailer bag, etc. like that. And then customer acquisition cost, right? And that eventually leads to your contribution margin, the amount you make on a per order basis. Now, logistics cost largely won't change. Per order packaging cost won't change. What will change is CAC. Customer acquisition cost is significant when you're getting the customer in for the first time. Example is, whatever Lenskart may have paid to acquire me 21 months ago, I've now spent 65 to 70,000 rupees on Lenskart since then. Whatever they may have spent on acquiring me, 500, 5,000, 20,000 rupees, they're still in the money right now because of the amount of transactions that I've made on that platform. And so if you look at a repeat order, right, there is still your net revenue minus your COGS, then your gross margin, there's logistics and packaging. But if the customer acquisition cost on a new order would be 400 or 800 or 1,000 rupee order, here it would be less than 100 rupees because you pay for the SMS, email, push notification, maybe a call to that customer, maybe some retargeting marketing, but it's significantly lower than the first order. And so that's actually where D2C brands make money, make significant lifetime value of customers, right? And so the real secret sauce of D2C business is getting a good quality experience to a customer through your product, brand, and customer journey to get them to come back and pay rupees again. And Rohan Mitchell, I said this on my podcast as well. Why is it so cool? Because honestly, D2C brands are the only people who have names, mobile numbers, email addresses, and products bought. Think about the amount of middlemen that you would have to go through to get this data from an offline retail store if you're a brand, a large brand, right? Superstock is included. And then eventually to get the customer data, even if there is any customer data, right? And so you have this amount of data which nobody else has. And so it's your job as a D2C brand to leverage it correctly and get customers to come back. So think about it. When I launch a new product and I have 1 lakh customers in my database, I can just email them or WhatsApp them about the new product. And maybe 1,000, 2,000 will buy just by that communication. How powerful is that, right?
Right. Cool.
The other thing I've noticed about retention as well is there are multiple channels of retention. There's email, SMS, push notification, WhatsApp, call, retargeting through social media. As a brand, it's your job to use all of these, but to very quickly realize where your customer is transacting and double down on that. So it is counterintuitive for me as the founder of Dr. Vaidya's to use calling because I hate calling. I hate customers calling me right? So I had brands calling me. But my customers wanted to be called rather than emailed. And so my calls would run at 6x ROI and my emails would run 1 or 2x ROI. Right? And so it was clear that I had to reach the customer where they wanted to be reached. And so sometimes your own personal experience or intuition may not yield the answer to hire customers only contact.
Correct. So what are the couple of things which you think that what a brand is doing already today, right, from you know, the retention perspective, and what are the things they should do it, right? You know, if you take a graph of, say, next 3 to 5 years, right? As I was mentioning in the past, right, now, if we clock back, say, 15, 20 years back, right, there's a whole engagement retention model was more from the mass SMSs that we used to get, right? And followed which probably 5 years back, it came that now these approaches become more targeted, more omni-channel, right? Over SMS, WhatsApp, and all those things, right? Now, where do we see, you know, next 5 years, how's the customer journey would look like, right? On the innovation side, probably people are doing, thinking to address this problem, Arjun.
Yeah, look, I think the first thing I would say is, there are still a large section of B2C brands that don't have the entire automated customer journeys in place. So I think you'll see more and more B2C brands using marketing automation and building customer journeys. But in the medium term, I would say that there will be a lot more personalization of retention into customer delight, which will mean personalized videos, personalized notes going from founders, products being sent to top customers being invited to offline locations. There is not enough customer delight and retention. And if you think about it, your top 10 customers, if they contribute 30-40% of the company's revenue, they deserve VIP treatment. And I think we've not done enough here yet. There are some brands that do some cool stuff, like a Whole Truth or a Sleepy Owl, really reward their top customers. But I think more and more needs to be done here. To make a customer feel proud or happy or excited that they are indeed part of a tribe that you call your brand, right? And so I think as we go forward, mass personalization as well as customer delight will be the pillar with which high quality retention journeys will be built.
Excellent. And how does the digital experience fits into in this all this model in terms of when you land into somebody's website or application, the digital experience, how big a role that play here, Arjun?
Everything I said right now can be digital or digitally assisted, right? I'll give you the example of my family business. So after we exited Dr. Devyans, my family business been in the jewelry and watch space for the last 35 years. They run one of India's most premium jewelry boutiques, both in Bombay and Delhi. And all their sales are offline. And I said, look, that's great. But like, there is something we can do for the online space. And so we built a high quality website. We started putting out solid content on Instagram, started using some amount of performance marketing. And we realized that, hey, there are customers buying 20 lakhs, 30 lakhs and 40 lakhs worth of jewelry digitally assisted, which means they'll discover you through digital or social media. They'll then do a virtual tour. They may complete the transaction at your store, but the entire experience of acquiring the customer, you had never come to your store before, happens digitally. And so, actually, even if the eventual moment of truth is offline, there's so much power and leverage for it. A company that had not done any online sales is now generating crores of digitally assisted sales.
Absolutely. Right. So this brings me to another, you know, connected important question. Now, majority of the brands today, right, everybody would love to have a good website or application app in place, right? How do a brand actually differentiate in terms of what is the digital experience brand A versus brand B can give on-premise? Like, for example, now I was reading about the session time on a particular app or web has decreased by at least 20-30% in last 1 to 2 years, right? There is another very startling number which came here is that from one of the McKinsey report that close to 55% of customers today, right, switches to another brand in the very last moment what they actually intended to buy, So I am at a website or an app and trying to do something. Unfortunately, probably it is not very engaging enough, right, in terms of the plain vanilla content it has. And, you know, I switch out, right? So what's your thought here? Like, you know, how, what brand should do to, you know, create that more engaging slash organic connect towards the brand when somebody is there on the property itself?
Yeah, I would say think differently, number one. And number two, your brand stands for something. It stands for a vision, a mission, some call philosophy. And so translate that to your retention journey as well. Why should retention be boring, right?
Correct.
I sent a personalized video pushing our top 500 customers Happy Diwali, where I mentioned their name. And I said, we sent the video to each of these customers personally, right? No brand had ever done that. Now there is mass personalization. That time I recorded 500 different videos. But customers went crazy. Could have sent them a Diwali gift worth thousands of rupees, but they thought this was the coolest thing they've ever received. And this went to all our top vendors and partners as well. So I think just that was really core to our ethos. We had a strong message of a healthy Diwali because this was the first year of COVID 2020. People loved it. Absolutely.
Great. So now one, probably a quick thing now. So from a tech enabler now, companies like Blash, right, or someone who's trying to, you know, mostly focus on giving that more and more value-rich experience when a customer lands onto, you know, somebody's site, either it could be a live commerce or a social commerce, where customer gets an immersive experience, right? So what's the thought that, you know, how does, you know, the tech enablers like Blash can help the ecosystem in terms of solving these problems? Well, ultimately, the ecosystem has to become rich, right? Then customers has to be happy, right? So what's your thought on
that? Companies are really busy. They have lots of things to do on product, brand, retention, and operations. And so there is huge market for D2C enablement. I'm a big believer in enablement of D2C. I've invested in more than 15 companies from personal capacity. And I think as D2C gets more and more technical, founders will focus on less and less things. And so they will look for plug-and-play solutions to solve large problems, which I ended up doing myself, right? We ended up doing it in-house. We worked in a time when there was no marketing automation, everything was done on Excel, there was no outsourcement, there was no quick commerce, no quick delivery, no order management systems, no warehouse management systems. All those things have changed. And today's founder actually takes these for granted, right? And so with that, there will be lots of tech enablement and D2C enablement, and founders will need more and more of this. And so to the enablers, I think as long as you're building a high quality solution which adds value to a founder's life or a brand's life and reduces some amount of pain by giving convenience, I think you're in a good place.
Excellent. Yeah, I think it's a very enriching discussion, Arjun. Anything, any other final tips, anything if you want to suggest to the growth community that, okay, now these are the three things, focus on this. And then probably, you know, I think that's a sustainable growth recipe.
Well, look, I think it's an exciting time for D2C. As we all keep saying, it's a decade of D2C. Double down on brand, double down on retention, and speak to customers. The best founders still speak to 50 to 100 customers a month. I think that should be, that should give you enough ammunition to really move the gears and scale your business.
Excellent. Yeah, I think it was very insightful, Arjun. You know, I think very, very insightful. Thank you again for taking some time out, Arjun. You know, I really enjoyed
it. Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Yeah.